Weeks and she went off to another ministry in Utah for about a month and a half. And when she was with us, she was playing the piano that day, and she had no idea what was going to happen. Boy, like she liked to jump off that piano bench. I thought she'd get scared her half to death, you know. Then she told me afterwards, she says, "Man, I like that, amen." But he did it every service, you know. They stomp that foot when they come to hallelujah, and when them cowboy boots on that wooden floor, just man, it just sounded great. So, Dad, I'm just saying, you know. If you wear cowboy boots, let's maybe tomorrow night, let's hear that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Dying the glory. That'd be good. Well, Luke chapter 14 with me this evening.
We've got the floor, but I'm not sure the sandals.
Yeah. Well, you better wear boots. Amen. Do it in your bare feet. That'll slap it. I won't make a sound of smack and all I can say. Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to set my jacket early, preacher. I'm warm up here tonight. Amen. And I remember my home church in Muskegon, Michigan, before we ever got air conditioning in there 36 years ago. I've been with them now for 35 years. I guess 36 years. It was 36 years this month I moved in there as the associate pastor. And I remember when we first started there, we'd have fans. We had these high fans. We'd have about 8 or 10 of them around the whole. We could seat 200 people in there. We'd have all around the whole sanctuary. We'd see. Back then, ran about 155, maybe 160 sometimes, you know, on a good day, maybe 185. And but they'd had them fans going, you know, and man, I tell you, by the time you was done preaching, you'd be wringing wet. I'm not kidding you, man. It was something else, you know. And so I remember before we got the air conditioning, so when people in our church start complaining about it being warm, I said, "Oh, you let's shut the air off and show them what it used to be like, preacher." Amen. And my pastor did not really like you taking your jacket off back then, Brother Rice. But I would just look at him and say, "Preacher, do I have permission?" He said, "Go ahead." I shed my jacket off. Thank you. I feel a little bit of something. My armpit hair would be dripping sweat. I'm just oh, that, what do they call that? TMI? Is that what that is? TMI? Yeah. Well, tonight I'd like to preach to you out of the book of Luke in chapter 14. And Brother Dave, this is not in one of your Bibles. Amen. Why? You know why? I just wrote this today. Just telling you, amen. So you got something brand new hot off the press, amen. He's been trying to check up on me every night and make sure I didn't have it written in his Bible. And you haven't got one yet this week, have you? Praise the Lord. That's because you didn't write it in last time I preached it probably here, so I'm just saying. And praise the Lord. Luke chapter 14, would you stand with me as we read? And of course, you know, if you know anything about the book of Luke in chapter 14, this is the master of the house says, "Go out and invite these people in to have a meal, to come," and he get all kinds of excuses. And then he says, "Go," and then he tells them out down in verse, verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes in the city of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as that thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And then the Lord said unto him, to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges. Go out farther and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall take of my supper." They have rejected the Lord. Amen. They have turned their back on the Lord. Father, thank you tonight for your precious word. I pray that you'd use it to speak to our hearts. And God, as every night goes, we pray that if anybody's listening, Lord, via the internet, Father, and walking by the doors outside, or even in the sanctuary, Lord, that does not know Christ as Savior, that you please speak to that heart tonight. We'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Help us now to receive from your word that which would help each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I want to preach a message to you. I've simply entitled, it might not make any sense to start with, but "Give In." Just simply give in. And I want you to look with me, if you will, as we come down here to verse 25. He says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." Now, he just invited all these in. Now he's leaving. Now he's talking about the great multitudes. They hear this. Great multitudes are beginning to follow him. Now, let me show you something. The difference between verse 23 and verse 25. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And verse 25, and there went out a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and take not and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The difference between the two, when it comes to salvation, God wants everybody to come. Amen? He wants everybody. There's not one person that's left out of the equation that God wants to come to salvation, no matter where they're at, no matter the deepest, darkest part of the world, no matter where they're at in sin, no matter a preacher, no matter where they're at. I was preaching in a church up in let me make the statement before I finish. I got this written down. I don't want to forget this before I tell you. But God wants everybody to come. But when it comes to discipleship. He only wants those who will pay the price. Those who are willing to give it all up to serve him. And that's what he's dealing with. He looks at the crowd, and he knows in the crowd, he knows who is real and who is not. He knows who is just a pew setter and who is not. He wants those who will follow. So he looks at the crowd and he says, listen, if you're not willing to take up the cross and follow me, then what is it? So give in. In order to give in, you must give up. I was in Michigan preaching in a church in Hudsonville, Michigan. Anybody here ever had Hudsonville ice cream? That's where they make Hudsonville ice cream. It's a big thing in Michigan. Good ice cream. I like Hudsonville ice cream. It's good ice cream. And I'm preaching in this church, and will that pick me up down here? I'm preaching in this church, and a pastor comes to me that morning. He says, Mike, he said, listen, he says, when you preach, he says, they got glass doors back there in the foyer. He said, the doors will be open. He said, but you'll see a fellow back there dressed in black, long red hair, long black trench coat, and the whole time you're preaching, he's going to be doing this. And then he'll turn. And then he'll do this. Keep the other side goes like that. Hey, you know. The whole time you're preaching, he doesn't. And the preacher said, every church in town has run them off. But I decided we're not going to do that. We're going to preach and let them hear the word continually every week. And so he comes in. We're not coming to the sanctuary. We're not sitting down. Does not want to talk to anybody. So when it came to the end of the sermon and the invitation was given, you know, I prayed and had everybody with their heads bowed and eyes closed. And he was back there watching. And I turned it over to the pastor. And as soon as I turned it over to the pastor, he was looking away, that guy back there. And I made a beeline to the back of the church. Amen. And I got out in the church. I found his name was Tim, pastor told me. And I walked up to him and I grabbed him and I said, Tim, I said, man, I'm so glad you could come here today. And he's trying to pull his hand away. And I got a grip, brother. Amen. I ain't letting go. I'm hanging on his hand. And I'm talking to him about Jesus and giving him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I told him, you need to be saved, Tim. You really got to get, you know you need it. You got to really get this thing settled. And he finally just looked at me. I finally let go of his hand and he turned around and he walked out. And he said, never said a word to me. Monday morning, he comes to the church. The pastor downstairs is homeschooling his children. And Monday morning, he comes into the church and he walks into the downstairs where the pastor's at. He said, preacher, he said, I need to talk to you. Can we talk? He said, no, I ain't got time. Sure we can talk. So he went to the office. You know, he'd have to know the pastor, the character, you know. So he walked up to the office and he was talking to the young man. And the young man turned around at that time and left the church. Walked out. He said, I got to go. I can't stay. I got to go. And so he went out and got in his car and he got about 3 or 4 miles up the road and the Holy Spirit gripped him just like that. And he turned around and he drove back to the church. And he went back down to the basement where the pastor was homeschooling his kids with his wife and he said, preacher, he said, I need to be saved. Can you help me? He said, no. He said, sure I can. Amen. Again. He took him up and led that young man to the Lord. Amen. You know what he had to do? He had to give in. He had to give in. You must give in. But in order to give in, you must give it up. He had to get rid of what was bothering. You know what he was? That man was a Satanist. He was a Satanist. And his girlfriend, he believes, got killed by the satanic cult. And he was looking for something that they did not have to offer, but that Jesus had. And he knew that if he went to a church, he heard enough against the church. He knew if he went to a church, he found out there must be something more than what he had before. And he got saved. The young man went off, and later on, and he went down to a few, maybe a month later, The preacher took him down to a Sword of the Lord conference. Now, Tuesday, he came back to church. Tuesday, he didn't come Monday night. He had something going. Tuesday, he came back to church, had a white shirt, a tie, had a black vest on, black pants, but no black overcoat, and he had a smile on his face, and there was a twinkle in his eyes. Amen. So about 3 or 4 weeks later, the preacher took him down to a Sword of the Lord conference. Amen. And you, if you've ever been to a Sword of the Lord conference, boy, there's some hard preaching, amen, brother. There's some good stuff going on in those things. And he's at the Sword of the Lord conference, and on the way back from the conference back to Michigan, the pastor asked him, so what'd you think? He said, Tim just got very quiet. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's okay, you know. You got anything to say? Yeah, I got a lot to think about, you know. And you really don't talk about it. You get back to Michigan, you know, this is like 2 or 3 months later, or something like that, I guess this took place. And they get back up into Michigan, and that was on a Saturday or Friday or Saturday they were coming back. I can't remember. One of those days they were on their way back. And the next Sunday for church, he was there. On Monday morning, he comes into the pastor's office again. And this time, he's got this garbage bag, preacher, with them 50-gallon garbage bags, full. And he's got the top tied, and he takes that in, and he puts it up on the pastor's desk. He said, preacher, you asked me, did I get anything out of the messages? And he said, I did. And he said, God has called me to preach. And he said, and these are all my wicked, ungodly, demonistic, devil's music tapes and CDs. And he said, would you get rid of these for me? He said, sure, I'll put them in the yard sale. He said, no, yeah, let's say they come right out, they threw them in the garbage, in the big garbage thing, you know. And that young man ended up getting his hair cut, and pastor called me one day on a Sunday afternoon. He said, Mike, he said, pray for Tim. I said, why is that? He said, he's going to preach his first message Wednesday night. Amen. He said, pray for him. Now, I don't know what's ever happened to Tim. The preacher's no longer in that part of Michigan. He's gone. He's down in Ohio somewhere now. And I don't know whatever happened to Tim. But boy, I tell you what, he gave up. We need to give up sometimes. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 10 with me. We have a number of scriptures to look at tonight. Some I have written out. Some I do not have written out on here. But Matthew chapter 10. And sometimes I throw things like that in there because I have no idea where I'm going. But I know where I'm going right now. And the Lord just brought that to my mind. And I wanted to share that with you. Because it's important. He had to give up. We have to give up. Amen. We just have to give up as born again believers. As those saved by the very grace of God. God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. The verse 34, Matthew chapter 10, down through verse 39, the Bible says this: think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, when he's dealing with these thoughts in this verse, he's not talking about how we think of the word hate. He's talking about when someone of your own household is going contrary to the very word of God. We're supposed to hate that thing and have nothing to do with it and still continue on serving God. Too many people allow other people to influence them and not following God, preacher. He's talking about giving up those things that stop us and hinder us from doing what God would have us to do as a child of God. If we were to listen to my wife's family when we were first saved, when I was first saved, she'd been saved. When I was first saved, and 5 years later, 4.5 years later, stepping off into the ministry to the Children's Home in Michigan, we would have never went. They said, you know, that's probably a cult. Why would you want to? That was right after the Jim Jones stuff. Amen. Remember that? How many remember Jim Jones, you know, and that the Kool-Aid trick, you know? And that was right after, during all that time, Pastor. So they would say, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you going up there? Why do you need to leave? Why do you need to? And if I would listen to them, I would never follow the Lord. Amen. Do I hate them like this? I hate you? No, I don't hate them like that. But listen, we ought to hate what represents those things that tear us away from God. Amen? We ought to hate those things that tear us away from God. I love my mother. Amen? But if it was up to my mother, I would not be out on the road right now. I'd be home taking care of her. She's 95 years old, Grandma. You know? And she's right now, I'm going to go see her in a couple of weeks again. She's in a she's in a rehab because she has no strength. I don't think she's ever going to get out, to be honest with you. But I love her. Have never hated her in my life, amen. My mom, well, what a sweet lady to me she's been, amen. Well, I love my mom. But I tell you what, I would not allow her to stop me from serving the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
We need to be biblical on some things as the children of God, as born-again believers. John chapter 5, verse 23 says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent me. He said, boy, honor me. You obey me. You follow me. You do what's right according to me. He said, you just need to give up your will that my will might be accomplished in you. Peter Marshall lived from May 27, 1902 to January 26, 1949. He was just shy of his 47th birthday, and he died of a heart attack, they said. And Peter Marshall was a Scots-American. He was a preacher. He pastored the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., pastor. And for about 3 years, he was appointed as chaplain of the United States Senate back in about 44, 45, 46, something like that. He was a chaplain for the United States Senate. The late Dr. Peter Marshall once selected for use in a church service the familiar, he calls it the familiar hymn of consecration, "Take My Life and Let It Be." He said, "Take my life and let it be." And then he requested the congregation to give particular thought to these words, "Take my silver, take my gold, not a mite would I withhold." And in a practical sense of the words, "not a mite would I withhold," he asked them this, that all who could not sing this line with literal sincerity refrain from singing it at all. He said the effect was so dramatic. He said the commentary on the glib, thoughtless manner in which all two of ten we sang our hymns. Of all two then we sang our hymns. Hundreds of voices with organ accompaniment sang vigorously up to the designated point. Then suddenly, there was only the sound of the organ music. Not a single verse ventured to such a challenging height. We take that, "not one mite would I withhold," and we take that as putting our money in the offering plate. That's not what that song means. That means I won't withhold anything. Everything I have belongs to God. And everything I have, God wants to use. Amen. So if there's something you're withholding, guess what? You need to give up. You just simply need to give up and give in to God. Give in to God. Number two, you need to give up, but you must bear your cross. You must bear your cross. Look what he says in verse 27 of me, the text, back to the book of Luke in chapter 14 and verse 27. Verse 25 again, he said, "There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, not and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now let me stop there. I've heard people take that verse, Pastor, and I've seen preachers, listen to me, I've seen preachers who have left their wives and say that's what that verse means. It's not what that verse means. It means you get right with God, you follow God, you obey God. It has nothing to do with divorcing somebody. It has nothing to do with leaving somebody. It has nothing to do with separation, that issue. It has everything to do with serving God as a child of God and doing it the right way. So he says, "If you're not, then you can't be my disciple." And then verse 27, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You must bear your cross. Matthew 10:38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Is not worthy of me. Boy, let me, you know, we can take that a long way, but simply, I just believe it, simply just speaking for itself. What are we willing to give for the Lord to have his way? What are we willing to give up as the children of God for the Lord to have his way? What are we willing to get rid of as the children of God for God to have his way? I was preaching in the Church of Connecticut years ago, pastor, and I made a statement from the pulpit. I said, how many of you today, this was on a Sunday morning, early service, in fact, it was morning service, and I said, how many of you today would covet with me for 1 week? I put in my hand, I said, I'll do this, I'll put my hand, for 1 week, not to turn your television set on at all. For news, for nothing. How many of you would covet with me? And a number of people, not everybody, but a number of people raised their hand. I had a fellow went into the mission field in Canada years later, pastor, came to me and said, you know, when you made that commitment to us, we took our television set and we put it in the closet and it hasn't come out yet. Amen. They realized something there. Now, what'd you do, Brother Mike? Well, I got one out in the trailer right here and I watch it whenever I want, amen. But that week I did not, amen. That week I had it shut off the whole week. You know, there's some things we sometimes need to give up. And sometimes we need to give up and fast, amen. Sometimes we need to give up food. Sometimes we just have to give up for God, amen, that we might bear our cross. You have a cross to bear. And by the way, your cross belongs to Jesus Christ. He saved you by the very grace of God, amen. He's got something more for you than just sitting back and doing nothing as a child of God. Look at Mark chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And let's go to Mark, right in the middle of those two. Mark chapter 8. Somebody says, why do you do that sometimes, Brother Mike? Throw in two or three books. Yeah, let me tell you why. When I was first saved, my wife and I would sit in a church service beside each other, a little Bible church in Northeast Ohio, where we went. And that's where she grew up, in the Baptist church. We ended up going to the Baptist church after just a little while. But the pastor would say, for instance, one time, the pastor would say, turn to the book of Nehemiah. Where every week, he would go somewhere, and I didn't know, I hardly knew where Revelation and Genesis was. I was just a new Christian, maybe, you know, in the Lord. And I'd watch my wife, I'd see which way she's turning in her Bible. Then I would turn that way. And then I would eventually find, that'd be all right. So he says, turn to the book of Nehemiah. And she's throwing over here in the New Testament. She watched what I was doing. So I'm going over to the New Testament looking. And while I'm going there, she's over in Nehemiah. And I look. And she goes, that's what you get. Memorize the books. Amen. Taught me a lesson. Hallelujah. Amen. But some people don't know. Even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some people are so confused sometimes that you deal with, or they just don't get the thought in their mind, I guess. I don't know. You get me over in the Minor Prophets, preacher, and I still lose myself once in a while. I know what they are, amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Look at this. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through verse 37. He says this, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There you go. Give up. Give up. Deny yourself. Give in, and then you must bear your cross. Give up and bear your cross. Deny yourself. He said, boy, that denying yourself can take in a whole gamut of thought. Amen. I don't need to list. Listen, can I say this? You know where you need to deny yourself. You do. You're not 2-year-old children. You're not 5-year-old kids that don't understand some things. You're adults. You've been saved long enough. You know what it means to deny yourself. You know what it means to deny the flesh. You know what it means to deny your feelings. You know what it means. He says, so you need to deny yourself. He said, again, look at what I say. I started in verse 34. Look, he says in verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the gospel's the same shall save it. That doesn't mean he's going to die. It means that he's not going to accomplish anything with his life, preacher. That's what it means. It doesn't mean if you don't serve the Lord that you're going to immediately die and you're going to go to heaven. It doesn't mean you're going to die and not. It just means that you're not going to gain anything from this life. You won't gain anything if you're not serving the Lord. We need to serve the Lord if we're going to gain anything in this life as a child of God. We ought to be a living, loving testimony for Jesus Christ. In verse 36 of that text, he says this, for all shall it profit a man. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Doesn't mean he's going to hell if he's a Christian, amen. It just simply means he has nothing at all now. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Well, I tell you what, we must bear our cross. Mark chapter 10, verse 21 says, then Jesus beholding him, remember the rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he says, what must I do? And he said, well, here's the commandments. And he says, all these have I kept from my youth up. I've done all these. I've obeyed the Ten Commandments, Lord. And then Jesus says, him beholding him, he loved him. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. You remember what happened to that young man? The Bible says he went away how? Sadly, he went away not rejoicing. He went away in misery. Why? Because he was rich and could not gain entrance into heaven because he was not willing for him. He was not willing to do what the Lord said. The Lord said, you'll have eternal life. He just showed you where the heart was. Amen. That's all. You know, God shows people where their heart is all the time. People fight God. People show unbelievers where their heart is all the time, and they fight God. I told Pratt, what was that title I told you a couple years ago, preacher, I was working on? How's that working out for you? Hey, man. I'm going to preach that yet. I just haven't got it together yet. You know, I forgot all about it. I've got it written down. I told myself, I get a thought, and I write it down in my Bible, in the back of my Bible. Then about 2 years later, I looked it up and think, why did I write that there? I have no idea. Write scripture down, because that'll preach, you know, and I go back. Why did I have to put this? Now I start putting scripture and what I'm going to preach, amen, on there. And then about 10 years later, I'll come up with it. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm going to live that long now, but I'm about done. Amen. Well, he said, go and follow me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, Paul says to Timothy. You've known my doctrine. You've known my manner of life, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You have a cross to bear. If he could deliver Paul, don't you think he could deliver you? Amen. Out of persecution, out of the hardships, out of the troubles, out of the problems, out of the difficulties. Same God. Same God. He hasn't changed. Amen. Look what he says. Go back to the text with me again. The third thought I have, we've only got two more to go. I was going to say it'll be done, but you know how I am. I lie about that all the time. We'll just see what happens. Amen. So here in the book of Luke again in chapter 14, where he makes a statement now. In let's start with verse 25 again and put this all together. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth this cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Well, give up. You must give in. Amen. You must bear your cross, and then you must count the cost. You must count the cost. To serve the Lord and to bear your cross will cost you something. You say, well, it never cost me anything, preacher. Then I was just wondering if you're bearing the cross. Amen. I would just wonder that. If it hasn't cost you anything to serve the Lord, then what are you doing as a believer in Christ? I'm not talking about emptying your bank account out and putting it into the church or putting it into somebody's pocket. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our service for God as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know what always irritates me? You go into churches, and I love churches, preacher. I've been in, I don't know how many over the years now, you know, 32 and a half, almost 33 years doing this now. And a number of years before that, a pastor, an associate pastor, a youth in a children's home ministry. And, you know, I've been in the ministry a long time. But I remember our home church, been there 36 years, I told you now, this month. And I can remember going down and looking for something in the lower level. I call it the basement of the church. Our pastor said the lower level. I said the dungeon, amen, lower level. I say, you know, I pick on them all the time. But down in the lower level, down in the where our boiler is, there was a little room up beside that boiler. And if I wanted anything to work on in that church, used doorknobs, used toilet seats, you know where they all came from? Not the church. They came from somebody's house. They put in a new toilet seat and brought the old one to the church. I don't want some nasty old toilet seat, amen. What's wrong? You know, what's wrong with our thinking today, amen? How about we just get off a couple of dollars of our own and just do what we need to do to help the church go forward and help it look nice, amen? You know, that's going to look nice when that roof's done up there, brother. You know, I remember when you painted this building. It looked great, amen. I thought, hallelujah. I remember you out here laying on your side working on the foundation over here, amen. Man, it looks good, amen. It looks a lot different today than it did in 19 or 2004 when I first came here, amen, 16 years ago. It looks a lot different today, amen. Back then, I was wondering if the building was going to stand up on us, amen. I remember when these windows were all blocked off in here and you didn't have any light in there, you know. And then when the sun would hit that, you would roast up there because that platform was over there for a while. You would roast standing up there, you know. I mean, it would be hot. And then you put the platform here and that wasn't much better. This is a little bit better right here, amen. Not much, but a little bit. No, it's good, amen. Just kidding you, amen. Praise the Lord. But you must count the cost. It's going to cost you something to serve the Lord as a child of God. We got to bear our cross. We got to give. We got to give it up. Give up. Give up. Give up. Give in to God. Amen. As a child of God. And then we must count the cost. Look at John chapter 16 in your Bibles. The book of John. In the 16th chapter of the book of John. Now I'm already there. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 in John chapter 16. Verse 1 through verse 4. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended, that shall put you out. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Boy, don't we see that today? Whosoever persecutes you today, don't we see that today? I don't hate Muslims, but they hate us. And overseas, brother, they would take your head off in a heartbeat, thinking they're doing God a service. Amen. They're not. And I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but if it does, I can't help it. That's the truth, amen. Now, I'm just simply saying, and do I hate them? No, I don't hate them. They need Jesus Christ just like anybody else does, amen. They think I need Allah like everybody else. No, I got Jesus, amen. They need Jesus. I hope they would trust Him in a personal way. Verse 3 says, and these things will they do unto you because they have not knowing the Father nor me. They don't know God, they don't know Jesus, and they don't have the Holy Spirit of God to direct them there. Amen. But things have I told you, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. That means this time's not far. This time's not far in the book of John before it's over. It's almost done. Look at Philippians chapter 3 with me. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, amen. You get there after Corinthians. Look at Philippians with me. Look at chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. Look down to verse 6 with me in Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says this, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, Paul's talking about himself, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. He said, now concerning these things, he said, I persecuted the church, I did this. He said, but boy, those things that were gained to me, those I counted for lost, or lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The thought that he might gain something in Jesus Christ, gain his walk with the Lord, not gain finances, he can't get any more Jesus than he has, amen. But that he might have the right relationship with God, I've heard people always say, you just need more Jesus. You don't need more Jesus. You got Jesus. Amen. You don't need no more victory. You know what you need now? You need deliverance. Amen. You got victory at the cross of Calvary. You got victory because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You got victory because He rose from the grave. Hallelujah. You don't need more victory. You need Jesus. You need to be delivered from your sin now as a child of God if you get involved in it. He says in verse 9 again, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It costs something to live the Christian life. I've got this written down here. It costs something to be a true Christian. Let that never be forgotten. To be an average Christian and go to church is cheap and easy work. Amen? It's easy to be an average Christian. The average Christian goes to church and that's all they do. They warm a pew, they hear a message, they might tell the preacher, that was good, you know, but they don't do anything with it. And they let it go. They don't do anything with it at all. But that ought not to be, amen. And to go to church, listen, but to be a disciple, to be a disciple of Christ, you must hear His voice, follow Him, believe in Him, and confess Him. It requires much self-denial. If you're going to be a disciple, it requires much self-denial. Giving up some things. Giving up your will. It will cost us our sins. We need to give up in them, amen? Let God have His way. Our self-righteousness. But we think that we do, it makes us better than anybody else. Give it up. Requires much self-denial. It requires our ease and our worldliness. Lord, I'm not. Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, just help me not to have that thought. Lord, I know. Lord, I woke up this morning. I'm tired, and I know I thought that, you know, I don't want to go to church. That's me every Sunday morning, man. No, I don't want to. Lord, I don't want to go to church. I just don't want to go to church. I know, Bev, you told that to your husband. He told you that 100 times. And he said, you have to. You're the pastor, amen. I know. I understand, amen. You got to go. You're the preacher, amen. And so, you know, but it costs something. And we have to have self-denial and our worldliness. We have to give it to Jesus. And if this worldliness begins to come on, and this self-righteousness begins to come on, we need to turn away from what it is that's drawing our attention away from God. Turn to God. Confess that and sin to Him. Lord, I can't believe I was even thinking that. I can't believe, Lord, I didn't want to be here. We just need to do it, be obedient to God. And it's going to cost you something to do that. It'll cost you some time. It might cost you some finances. It might cost you some bitterness from people who are around you. You know what really irritates me? Is people who come to church and then they say, I'm not going to be here tonight because I got a family member at the house today and I got to stay home and take care of them today. Hogwash! Let's get in the house of God, amen. Let's just go to church and invite them along. And if they don't want to come, I'm not going to allow them to stop me from being in the house of God. Just go. Do right. Serve God. It's going to cost you something. They might not ever want to come and visit you again. So be it. Amen? So be it. I know that's hard. You might not agree with that. That's fine. I'm just simply saying we allow too many people to draw us away from God. This has all been paid for by Jesus. All must be given up. Our Lord Jesus Christ would have us thoroughly understand this. He bids us in this text to count the cost. Count the cost. Now look back to the text with me. The last point tonight. Last point. And I'm going to go to 9:30 on this one because we haven't gone home to 9:30 anyway. Well, I didn't get much of a response that time. Amen. I expected Tracy to say, oh man, I got to work tomorrow, you know. Not until tomorrow afternoon. You'll get a couple hours sleep. Just stop. I'll get you home by 8 in the morning. Don't worry about it, amen. look at me if you will down here in the scriptures again. Let's go ahead and just read again beginning in verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, watch happens. Here's what happens. When you say you're a born again believer and you start talking about Jesus and they don't see you giving it all, watch this. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. They begin to laugh. I mean, I knew it wasn't real. I knew that wasn't true. I knew that you said you were a Christian, but we'll see. And then you don't live what you say you're doing. Guess what? They mock you. It ought not to be that way. Amen. So he goes on to say, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Well, maybe he didn't hear about Gideon, amen. So he said, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Three times we see that there. Then verse 34, he says, salt is good. It's almost like he changes a whole perspective here for just a minute, amen. Because he says, you know, salt is good. But if the salt have lost its savor, his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? We need to give up that which, listen, ruins our salt. What ruins our salt? Watch what he says. It is neither fit for land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, listen to what I have to say to you. Now, I wrote down in my Bible simply this. You say, where'd you get this point? Well, watch, I'll show you here in a minute. You must be fit. If your salt has lost its savor, you're not fit. You're not fit. He says in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 50, salt is good. Salt is good. How many of you like salt? Amen. Now, I don't salt anything. Food has enough salt in it for me. I make hard-boiled eggs, my wife does for me. I don't put anything on them. I just pop them in my mouth and eat the whole egg. I don't put salt. I don't do anything with it, amen. I like the egg just like it is, amen. I don't salt my fried eggs. I don't salt my scrambled eggs. I don't salt. I go to McDonald's, I'll get french fries with no salt because I don't like the salt, you know. And I just don't. And of course, I'm a congestive heart failure. You're not supposed to have salt anyway, amen. So, but it never hurt me because I never ate it anyhow. I just cut that out years and years ago. He says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will it be seasoned? Will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Boy, that talking about those believers have peace one with another. Amen. Let's have that salt, that savor in ourselves as a believer in Jesus Christ, and we might have peace one with another. Look at Colossians with me. The book of Colossians, Glenn, you know where that's at. After 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, amen. You run into the book of Colossians and over in the book of Colossians. Look with me, if you will, down to chapter 4. Colossians in chapter 4. And he said down to chapter 4, verse 2. Watch what he says. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, when he's talking about seasoned with salt, he's not talking about taking salt and putting it on an open wound. He's talking about that we might have a savory speech, that we might have the right tongue when we're talking to people, that we might have the right attitude. If you're talking to somebody who don't like you, amen. You need to be kind. Heap hot coals on their head, amen. He's not saying rub the salt in. Amen. Sometimes we like to rub the salt in. We see a sore boy, we'll go after it. Hey, let me open that up for him. We'll rip that thing wide open. You got stitches? I'll take them out for you right now. Let me put some salt in there when I'm done, by the way. Amen. I mean, that's how we are. That's human nature. But listen, we're born again and saved by the very grace of God. We have God's nature. Human nature ought to be out of us. Amen. We need to do what's right as the children of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." That we should walk in them. Acts 24:16, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." We need to be fit for the Master's use, according to the book of 2 Timothy. Amen. We need to be fit for the Master's use as the children of God. Now, I like that word exercise there in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. "Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." That word exercise means to train. It means to strive. It means to exercise. Amen. How many of you do your exercises now? There you go. Amen. Yeah. I see David pretending to put his hand up back there. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, she put her hand up. Hallelujah. Amen. As I love my daughter. I talked to her on the phone today, and she's lost quite a bit of weight. Praise the Lord. Good young lady. Loves the Lord. Danelle and Matthew down in Clarksburg sing, the whole family. They're in the ministry down there. And love them to death, you know. And I said, "So are you exercising?" And she says, I said, "Are you walking?" She says, "Yeah, I walk from the cars into the store and spend money. Get in the car, go to another store, walk into the store, walk around the store, spend more money. Get to the car, walk out, get the car, drive to the next store, go into the store, spend more money, and then get back in the car and go home. And then walk home, or get back in the car, go home, make everybody else unload the groceries." Amen. Okay, that's exercise. Amen. Like I said, "I don't think that's what your doctor meant when he said you need to exercise." Amen. Well, that's not what my doctor meant either. And I exercise every day. You know, getting out of my armchair, I got a button. Puts my feet down. And if I can't get up because of my knees or my back creature, I push it and lifts me up. I just got that. My wife talked me into buying it. I don't really like it, but I'm starting to get to like it. Amen. Especially when my legs were so sore, and knees were sore the last couple of days. Amen. Exercise. I used to... nobody believes this about me. I'm only 215-16 pounds now. I was 274 last year, 275, maybe 280 when I was here last year. I got so sick this winter, I lost a lot of weight, you know, during that. I'm glad. I didn't want to lose it that way, but I'm glad I lost it. I'm feeling great, best I've felt in 3 years. And so, but when I was younger, when I was 22, 23 years old, I used to run 5 miles twice a day when I was still, before I got out of prison. That's 5 miles twice a day, preacher. You know, and I could book it pretty good. And the last 50 to 75 yards, I could sprint on that 5 mile run. You know, and I exercised. I exercised every day. I do push ups. I do set ups. And now I can't even set up to get out of bed. I roll out of bed and then have a hard time getting out before after I roll out. Amen. And then but I used to do push ups all the time. You know, I did them, preacher, like this. You know, how you put your fingers together and get your nose down in between there. I used to be able to do them. You know, I used to be able to do one handed push up. I can't get my other hand behind my back anymore to do a push up like that. I kill myself. You know, and my fingers would probably pop out of the joint, and I'd be walking around like this all the time. Amen. Brother David would be like you got there. Amen. That one finger. You know, I'd be in bad shape. But it means strive. Train. How do you train? How do you train as a believer in Jesus Christ? Get in the Word of God, amen. Get in the house of God. Stay in the house of God. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in prayer to God. Learn the Bible. See what the Bible has to say. See what it teaches you as a child of God, that you might grow in the very grace of God. Give up. Give up. Let's have our heads bowed and their eyes closed. We need to give up. Some people just need to give up to the Lord and get born again, saved by the very grace of God. Give yourself up to Him. I'm going to ask two questions. I ask the first question every night. I ask it sometimes in Sunday school. I ask it when I pastored on Wednesday nights. I ask it Sunday morning, Sunday night. I ask it when I preach to the youth. I ask it any. I just ask it. Has there been a time in your life when you have been saved and you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know that you have been born again. If you can say that, would you slip up your hand? Just slip your hand up in the air. God bless you. Amen. You say, I know I'm saved. Amen. Looks like every hand went up in the auditorium tonight, preacher. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank you for your honesty, folks. And I don't know if anybody's viewing this by internet tonight, but if you're not saved, you need to consider Jesus Christ. You need to just call this preacher. Talk to him. Call him and invite him to your house so he can show you how you can be born again and saved by the very grace of God. Second question is this, Brother Mike. As you're preaching tonight, the Lord showed me a few things in my life that I need to give up. I just need to give up. Maybe it's your will. Maybe it's something personal. I don't want you to come to me later on and say, well, I'm going to give up this or give up that. I don't care. The Lord cares. Amen. You just need to deal with Him. Anybody tonight, you just slip up your hand and say, that's me right now. God showed me something. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Others, how about it? Amen. How about others? Anybody else? Anybody else before I go to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you now for your precious word. Thank you for those who raised their hand tonight, God. I pray that you be honored and glorified. And Lord, if there's anybody listening tonight via the internet, and they've listened here, Father, that's not saved, please touch that heart. Convict them, Lord. And Lord, when they lay their head down on their pillow tonight, if they don't get saved before then, convict them, Lord. Help them to think about that. Give them a restless night's sleep, Father, that they might consider Jesus Christ and what He's done for them upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we give you the praise and the thanks. Help these that raise their hand tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the hymn is played. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And the Lord spoke to your heart tonight and you raised your hand. I want you know the drill. Why don't you just come right now? Just come. Just slip out of your seat. Come on. The Lord spoke to your heart. You say, I didn't raise my hand, but the Lord spoke. It don't matter. You come. Come on. You just come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do. Come on. God bless you. Come on. Let God do what He wants to do, how He wants to do it, His way, not your way. You come.
Father, praise you and thank you for what we've heard and seen here tonight. Thank you again, Father, that we could again just hear your words and be encouraged and strengthened. And Father, thank you for decisions that were made here tonight. Thank you again for prayers that were lifted to you. Pray that you'd intervene as only a loving Heavenly Father could just now in each life, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated for just a minute. Let me go ahead and tag on to that message. a picture. There's even a guy that preaches while they're drawing pictures in the background. So I'm going to draw a picture for you here tonight. I'm not really an artist. Okay, can we see that? Is that good? And so there's this little boy, and he went to kindergarten, and they were all picking on him and laughing. And one of the gang approached his friend and said, "Can you tell me where babies come from?" The kid said, "My mommy says babies come from a stork." And they all laughed and guffawed and picked on him until he started crying. And then they turned to the little Ralphie and said, "Do you know where babies come from?" And he said, "My mama says that babies come from a cross-eyed bear." So, this is a picture that I have in the margin of my Bible. If you can see that, that's a picture of a cross-eyed bear again. And I've got that in 8 different places in my Bible, and so I'd encourage you to find those 8 places and put a cross-eyed bear in the margin of your Bible. That's helped me a lot. Every time I see that little bear in my Bible, I think about the message that you just preached, praise the Lord, about a cross-eyed bear. All right. That's free. Well, carry that with you. Yeah, that's right. Some of us have simple minds again. And some of those, I said I 8 times, like 3 of the 5 of them are literally, that's what it says, a cross-eyed bear. But a couple of them are just things that need to be nailed to the cross. There's a couple of verses that talk about nailing things to the cross and things that have been nailed. And so I'd encourage you again to go ahead and do that. It'll help you remember that message, even if you didn't get it all outlined nicely in the margin of your Bible. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message tonight. Appreciate it again, God's goodness. Let's stand. We'll go ahead and dismiss. Boy, it's good to be saved. Hallelujah. And let's tell that to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night.